It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So your 22-year-old quarterback, soon to be 23, CJ turns 23 later this week, leads a game-winning drive against a division rival to win a tight ball game. And last year, I think that would be a giant story. CJ's great rookie season. We are going to always focus on the positives of what was a surprise year. But I don't get the sense that drive wipes away what we saw for three and seven eighths of a game. Certainly three plus quarters. And that's maybe us being a victim or slave to expectations with this team and what we think the Jags are. But I don't think the takeaways are your young quarterback did something great again, or that you have a bona fide number one wide receiver. You remember all that flowery commentary about, oh, we don't have a number one. We're just going to throw to who's open. Nah, that's not what this team is. They have a clear number one as Nico Collins, and he's leading the league in receiving. Whether it be because Tank Dell needs to find his way, plus his injury, or Stephon Diggs is simply not a guy who can be a number one in this offense. Or maybe it's just simply CJ saying, all right, I'm getting hit. I have to avoid pressure. I'm going to lock in on one guy. All that who's ever open stuff, I think, is gone. And the broadcast yesterday, particularly Tiki Barber, said it a number of times, when in need, find Nico or something along those lines. And that's what it is, whether it be the rollouts to get away from pressure and throwing across his body or making Nico his primary target. There is no more distribution of targets, and we'll see who's open. Get the ball to the man who is your number one and at this point leading the league in receiving. Sean, we talked about it before we left last week. Would we remember that O-line coach's name? And you know what? In the middle of the second quarter, it's like, damn it, Strouser. I didn't even have to look up his name. I remembered it. I didn't want to have to think of his name. And so we asked a question. Beyond the positives of winning the game, that's always most important. That's how NFL coaches treat things. Like NFL coaches, because there's not that difference in talent. When they win a ball game, it's like, ooh, take the win, and we'll fix the mistakes. College coaches are a little different. Like if you have an overwhelming talent advantage and you barely win a ball game, it's talking about how sloppy we were, how bad we could practice, or we need to be better. And there's much more criticism by the coaches of their own performance when they win. In the NFL, we'll hear from D'Amico. Pretty much whatever it takes. So those are the positives. You win, you lead your division, you're 3-1. You push the Jags 0-4. But as far as what we think this team can be, I'll ask this question, and I'll get to Strouser in a second here, because his unit played poorly. If you don't know who he is, he's the O-line coach for the Texans. And his unit played poorly. They gave up pressure to even after the Jaguars' best pass rusher had to leave the game. They gave up pressure to the rest of the guys. They forced their quarterback to be spectacular, to do the mundane. Are they good? Is this Texans team, as they stand right now, a good football team? Not the one we believe they should be. Not the one when we look at the roster and go, Mixon, who didn't play, obviously. Tank didn't play. But all the guys, from Nico to CJ to Derek Stingley, Will Anderson to Danielle Hunter, who generated less than no pressure in that game, Is the team we're looking at a good football team? I would say if I removed all my preconceived thoughts about what this team was coming into the year, just watched them play, and I knew what I knew about the opponents, I'd say they feel like, as I always make college football references, they feel like a overranked team who's beating up on out-of-conference opponents who aren't very good early in the year. And then they'll get their comeuppance in conference. Almost happened in Miami. But that's for a different segment of the show, or maybe tomorrow. But I don't feel like they play like a good football team. I'm not saying they're not, but all I can look at is what my eyes, all I can think about and talk about is what my eyes tell me. Undisciplined, in dogfights against mediocre to bad football teams, and the one good team they fought or they played, they got boat raced. It wasn't even a contest. So I'll ask you, Sean. I'll ask anyone else, 713-780-3776. Remove what we believe them to be. Are they playing like a good football team?
It's hard because they are winning a lot of these games. Yes. And that's like generally what we credit. Like good teams know how to win.
Yes.
And they are doing enough to win these games against the Colts. They ran out the clock. They didn't let the Colts get the ball back after they scored to go down two. The Bears, that just kind of dominated their offensive line. Like, the defense just dominated that game for the Texans. And then yesterday, it was like a little bit just like last year's Texans, really, where it was hang close, 2-minute drive with C.J. Stroud, boom. Walkout winners. They're definitely not, like, you know, to use another college football analogy, they're not, you know, putting up a lot of style points for the BCS computers, but they are just winning games, which in the NFL is like kind of all that matters.
Yeah.
Is, hey, you can look like dog crap, just win game. I mean, as the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, if we're doing this radio show in Kansas City, we're asking the same question of, like, is this team even any good? And as of right now, those are the top two seeds in the AFC.
And we know the Texans have minor injury concerns. Those guys are expected to be back, outside of, like, Brevin Jordan, who may be a bigger loss than we expected, considering what he does for them blocking. But the Chiefs now, without Rashee Rice, what looks like the rest of the year, expected ACL tear for him, and Hollywood Brown injured, they look like a team who will be going through the same offensive problems they had last year, but just with an older Travis Kelce, and they don't have an emerging star except for Worthy. Worthy had a nice play down the field, and he caught a long touchdown, then he also had the game-sealing catch. So maybe Worthy is their Rashee Rice this year, and he'll be the one to keep them afloat offensively until it's playoff time for Travis Kelce. But back to the Texans. We'll get into their opponent, because Doug Peterson had thoughts. We might get into Doug Peterson and Sean's thoughts on Doug Peterson after watching him again, because Sean wasn't very complimentary before the game. I don't know if Doug Peterson did anything to change his mind. You know, one guy who didn't change my mind at all, Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is the guy I thought he was before the year, and he continues to prove that giving him that money was mostly only about, hey, we can't let our first-round pick, I don't know, be left in the wind without a deal. Why can't you? The Trevor Lawrence, who at that point, what was he? Owen had lost his last 5 starts. Now it's his last 9. He missed open guys. If Trevor Lawrence is what the Jaguars thought he was at quarterback, the Texans lose. Beyond some of the missed throws that are stopping guys' feet when they're even catching the ball, the 2 deep balls, the one to Brian Thomas, the one to Christian Kirk, those are both touchdowns. Particularly the one to Christian Kirk changes the complexion of the game. I don't think the Texans win if an average quarterback is on the other side of the field. Trevor Lawrence did not play like an average quarterback. He missed layups. So as bad as Sean may think Doug Peterson is, he schemed up enough layups for a quarterback of what Trevor Lawrence is believed to be to make those throws, hit those layups, the Texans lose. Thankfully, Trevor Lawrence is who I think he is, not who some of the people in the league think he is. So him missing those throws were like, yeah, that's Trevor Lawrence. I'm not surprised by that. Texans 3-1. But I think the questions coming out of the game are, how come we can't get our penalty issue fixed? And at least for me, are they good? I don't think so. Not the way they're playing. They're fully capable when they get healthy, and if they can clean up some of the injury stuff, of being a good football team. It's just not playing out that way right now. If you have any questions about the Texans or anything else in the NFL, you can certainly call in 713-780-3776. It's only four games in, but ask a question about your team. Are they good? Some of those answers are pretty obvious. The Texans is one that's a little murky for me. You commit penalties. You get dragged into the depths by the Jags and the Colts. And the Bears had a chance to beat you on their last drive. It's bringing up questions for me. And we ended the last show with this, and I'll get to it now if you missed it. Dikembe Mutombo, at 58, dies from brain cancer. I don't know if that was widely reported before. Maybe it was something his family wanted to keep to themselves, but 58 years old, Dikembe Mutombo, longtime NBA player, great humanitarian, played here in Houston, had some really good years in Houston. He passes away at 58. Eric, I see you. You want to talk NFL? Anyone else want to talk really about anything? NFL, the Astros, they have their series against the Tigers beginning on Tuesday. And, of course, it's those early afternoon starts that we're used to. You can get into that as well. We're just getting started here. We'll be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
A lot of games come, like, I think the first week of the first 2 weeks in the NFL was like 11 out of the however games came down from one score. And, you know, if you can get the lead or tie it up, not give them the opportunity to go down and drive, That's the goal and the plan we want to do. But we also do want to stay aggressive, but just be smart. Time matters. I thought D'Amico and Bobby did a great job. And, you know, we end up scoring, which was great. And then you see we get them with 16 seconds. Like, it's hard to operate. Now 70 yards down the field to get a field goal or a touchdown. Like, so you just playing the time game. And, you know, we knew we had a field goal, and we would tie the game up and go to overtime, or we could score and not give them much time. Either way, it went. You know what I mean? So just thought that was very smart.
CJ Stroud, after the game yesterday, he led the game-winning drive. The guys in the booth were talking about the Jaguars not taking more time off the clock. I think they ran the ball on their first play, and then they threw it twice. I think Jalen Petrie made a nice play to knock down. He was playing zone, and he was under the route. He knocked it down, and then another incomplete pass. They're getting after them for not taking more time off the clock. You're trying to pick up first downs. Unless the Jags really believe they could run the ball down a Texans throat a couple times and maybe hit them with a quick one to get a first down, I don't mind them trying to go out and score. I don't mind it. Or at least pick up first downs through the air. It just didn't work. And you know what? The Texans would have plenty of time. They had timeouts. Running the clock out wasn't going to work unless you picked up first downs. So they tried to pick them up throwing, and it didn't work out for them. But I didn't take issue with that. Now, the fourth down quarterback draw, when Tiki Barber could call it out before it happened, coming out of a timeout after the end of quarter break, that one you can look at and go, the Jags haven't run any empty stuff all game long. What is this going to be?
And when you go empty at the 2-yard line.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious what you're doing.
Yeah, great coaching by Doug Peterson.
Sean's
offensive mastermind.
Sean's hate coming through.
Yeah, it is.
The combination of Doug Peterson, offensive mastermind, said sarcastically, and Trevor Lawrence, generational quarterback, said sarcastically, is a great combo to go win a game even when you don't play well. And the Texans got that done. The holdings picked up for Laremy Tunsil. No false starts, though, so that was addressed.
Well done.
Well, I mean, false starts are 5 yards. Holdings are 10, so maybe go back to the false starts. Just do them less frequently if we're going to pick one.
Larry's like, oh, now the false starts don't seem so bad,
Four of them equal the two holding penalties that you were involved in. So maybe limit them to two. Only one holding penalty that it equals. We're just looking for growth. And I'm not sure going from false starts to holding penalties is growth. He did miss some time with what appeared to be a lower leg injury. Blake Fisher came in there. I was like, oh, look at Blake Fisher. And I was like, oh, look at Blake Fisher.
Yeah.
He got beat around the edge. I don't know how many people noticed it because the broadcast crew didn't even recognize he was in until plays after he got beat. In fact, I think Laremy Tunsil was blamed for that pressure because they just assumed he was in the game. I was like, no, not Laremy Tunsil. I watched Laremy Tunsil get a little nicked up. And I was like, oh, he's going off the field. And Blake Fisher went out there and promptly got beat around the edge. So that's why Laremy Tunsil's not going to be held accountable. Everyone's like, you know what? Even the morning show we were discussing maybe taking him out for a series or a quarter or whatever. It's never going to be a quarter, but even a couple plays of a series. Did you see what Blake Fisher looked like out there? Did you see that? I know holdings are tough. I know false starts are tough, but so are hits on your quarterback, or even C.J. Stroud doesn't have the ability to evade because of how quickly you're getting beat around the edge. So at least through a couple of plays, and I don't blame Blake Fisher entirely. He didn't expect to play in that situation. He's not ready. Right now, Blake Fisher, not ready.
And Laremy Tunsil's like, sweet. Yeah. Just got 6 more weeks of being Laremy Tunsil.
Oh, forget it. That man has been leading the Texans around by the nose since he got traded here. It's 6 more weeks. He's not concerned. There was no thought even if Blake Fisher played relatively well that they were going to tell Laremy Tunsil to sit down for a couple snaps. Soon as he was healthy to play, he ran right back in there.
With those red gloves holding everybody.
Yeah, that became a story. I'm not sure I care that much about it, but even Seth Payne, who NFL defensive lineman, former defensive lineman, said, what are we doing? Don't wear red gloves. So apparently it's a thing. The officials treat your red gloves like it's a fast car, and they're the police. If they see it, they're going to take more notice of it, and you'll get caught.
I think Edelman told a story about that with when he was on the Patriots with Belichick being like, why are you wearing red gloves? It's the easiest thing for them to call.
Yeah.
Especially when the other team's wearing white.
Yeah, so Laremy Tunsil should have worn white gloves. But no, that ain't drippy. The red gloves...
You're an offensive lineman.
Bring X. Well, he wears an athlete's face mask. I don't know if you noticed.
He does.
Now a lot of offensive linemen do. They're not a lot of offensive linemen are going with the newer helmets.
Why don't they have the single bar down the middle anymore?
Well, there are very few guys who are doing that, and they're doing that to be a thing. They're just doing that to do it. Just hey, look how old school I look. But most offensive linemen, particularly the tackles. They want to be a little drippy with their face mask. They're wearing the same face mask that a DB might wear or a running back might wear. I think we're long gone are the days of old linemen being old linemen.
Game's gone soft. Not the game I was raised on.
It's true. I mean, but Laremy Tunsil has always been different when it came to it. And as long as there's a new face mask that he thinks makes him look cool, he's going to wear it. He's going to dress like it. I'm an athlete. I don't know if you've heard. The man's an athlete. That's what he thinks. I'm an athlete. So he wears his gear that way. We got two Erics, which is a surprise. I just initially thought the first Eric was Eric Wong, but apparently not. So Eric Wong, you want to talk Longhorns? Eric wants to talk NFL. We'll get to Eric.
Actually, Dell, we can do it right now because the system isn't ready to go to break.
Oh, so we can't go to break.
No, so we can just go through.
All right, let's get to Eric, who wants to talk NFL. What's up, Eric? Eric, you've got a bad connection. Try it again. Nah, we got to put Eric on hold. Hey, Eric, call back, although maybe it's maybe it's both of them Eric Wong, because that voice sounded like Eric Wong when I could tell. All right, if that's a different Eric, call back. I'm not sure. Eric Wong's never had that type of phone problem. Let's try Eric Wong. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Hey, this is Eric Wong, not Eric Wrong.
Okay.
I don't have that kind of phone issue because I have the Apple iPhone 16.
Oh, look at you.
But anyway, Dale.
Made from money.
So, do you think that Clemson Tide should have jumped the Longhorns at the number one spot? And how do you feel about A.J. Griffin retiring from the Rockets to pursue his ministry? Also, I heard some mixed reviews about Joker Part Due. I want your feelings on this. I need to listen. Eric Wong out.
Okay. The intern has done me a service and named the next Eric, Eric 2. So now I know it's different. Okay. He asked about Alabama jumping the Longhorns. I was actually surprised that it happened after the score got close. I thought in the first half, the way that game was going, and by the way, boy, was I wrong about it. You can't be the Heisman front runner playing against one of those defenses. Jalen Milroe became the Heisman front runner, and if Carson Beck had won his game, he might have become the Heisman. If he hadn't won the game, he might have become the Heisman front runner because of the comeback. So those defenses aren't, at least against two comparable rosters of athletes, not shutting anyone down. And Texas will have their chance at Georgia coming up here in a little bit. So should they have jumped? You beat Georgia. Why not? It doesn't matter. I'm glad that the polls are volatile. Sure, it's great for your social team and the graphic to put up we're the number one team in the country, AP number one. If you're Texas, maybe you want to do that for another week. That would have been fine, but does it matter? Like, we talked about this last week, Sean and I. On the same day, there's Alabama-Tennessee. There's Georgia-Texas. Now, of course, if Alabama beats Tennessee, maybe Texas doesn't jump them if they beat Georgia, because Tennessee at the moment is one of the top five teams in the country. But does it matter right now at all? Other than, hey, pat yourself on the back, we're number one.
It doesn't matter.
It's nice to be number one. It's nice for a package to be made about you being number one on your team's media platforms or on ESPN. And number one team, it's nice to hear someone say, number one team in the nation, yeah. The Texas Longhorns take the field. All that stuff is cool, but it doesn't matter.
And for the last time, they were number one since. Just to update that, that's always nice.
Yeah, it's cool. It's
but
fine.
It doesn't. Especially because, like you said, Alabama's going to have to play Tennessee. Georgia's going to have to play Tennessee. Texas is going to have to play Georgia. Like, all these teams are going to play each other. The only really teams that won't play each other in that mix are Alabama and Texas, and I guess Texas and Tennessee.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only of the top five SEC, or the SEC teams in the top five. That's the only ones that won't play. So this thing is going to solve itself.
It'll work itself out.
Or you can be like Ole Miss and just lose to Kentucky.
Or you can lose to Kentucky.
I say don't be like Ole Miss.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. When Kentucky goes for like 4th and 8 on their own side of the field and hit it.
65-yard pass.
And yeah. Then wind up beating you, and then your kicker shanks a long field goal and you lose to Kentucky at home. Kentucky got someone. They almost got Georgia earlier, and they got Ole Miss over the weekend. We'll get into more of that later. Maybe it comes tomorrow. Who knows? We'll let you guys kind of dictate the direction of the show. We'll get to what else did he ask about? He asked about what did he ask about? He asked about the Joker too. He's saying it's getting mixed reviews. I don't like musicals, so I'm out. I didn't watch the Joker. I'm not watching Joker 2, mostly because I hate singing as a way to push the narrative forward. I hate it. It only works for me in Disney movies. And even as a kid, I didn't know Disney movies were musicals, but I know now that they were. But get out of my face. I hate singing that pushes a story forward. So I'm out. Sorry, Eric.
I'll watch it. Don't worry.
It should. Well, Sean will have your review. It should get mixed reviews because it's a musical. That's where I stand on that. And what else did he ask about?
I wasn't listening. I was dealing.
You're
with
trying to fix it. Sorry, Eric. Maybe I'll go listen back and get that last one for you. You always ask me a couple, and I always miss one. Eric 2, Lazy J, Sean, we'll get to you.
Just kidding.
Not you, Sean. I mean, you can always jump in. Your thoughts are always welcome.
Just
did. But the other Sean, Lazy J, and Eric 2, we'll get to you when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Eric, Lazy J, Sean, we'll get to you as quickly as we can. The other thing that Eric Wong that I forgot that he mentioned that he wanted to talk about was AJ Griffin, the former Hawk, was a Rocket for, felt like, minutes. He retired from basketball because he wanted to pursue, or at least focus more on God. He had some clips over the weekend that explained his decision. What do I think about it? What is there to say other than, I hope you're happy in your decision, young man.
Give me a take.
What? What am I supposed to say about a man who says, I don't want to play professional sports because I want to focus on God? What is there to say?
Give me a take.
Like what? I don't believe him?
The Rockets wasted a second-round pick.
No. Well, I could have told him that when they made the trade initially without this particular input, but
they could have used it on someone who's going to play.
Yeah, well, AJ Griffin was never going to play for the Rockets this year anyway, not in any substantial role. It's a part of why Rocket fans lean into their core seven stuff. If you got a core seven and you're not even talking about your veterans, AJ Griffin wasn't going to play on this team. Mm-hmm. You want to add another talented piece? We've done this already.
They could have drafted Jamal Shedd. Could have been a core eight.
Ah, yes. Another small guard on the team. That yeah. Van Vliet, Reed Shepard, and Jamal Shedd. Shedd's now in Toronto, right?
Yes. He could have been their Tank Dell.
Don't let me leave the city? Did he send a DM to one of the Rockets, current Rockets, to get that done?
That's probably where he went wrong. He should have hopped into Reed Shepard's DMs.
And Reed Shepard, I'm like, I don't want you on the roster. You're competition. Beat it.
Why play my position.
Yeah, why would I want you here? So there it is. I don't have a real take on it other than I hope AJ Griffin's really happy. All I can hope for the young man. What is there to say?
I don't know, but the way Eric asked us about it, I figured he wanted to take him out of here.
Eric, the Rockets made an awful decision making that trade. They should have had the foresight to know this kid wasn't serious about basketball. what is Rafael's doing? That's just a wasted draft pick. You should have looked into it. He was a washout with the Hawks. He should have known better. Why would you trade for a guy who the Hawks didn't want anymore?
There we go.
All right.
Now we go to Kendrick Perkins. Your thought.
Oh, you want to clip that up and have, fine. Go ahead, social team. You got what you wanted out of me. Okay, let's go to Eric, the other Eric. He wanted to talk NFL, I believe. What's up, Eric?
How you doing? Brother Choice, always number one fan. Okay. How you doing?
Welcome, Eric.
So, I had a question about the NFL. Mm. These quarterbacks are getting underpaid, like Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, are 4-0. What does that tell you about the elite quarterbacks that are getting paid top dollar? I mean, is it just because of, now they have a chip on their shoulder? And what do you think DD would prefer, an all-male or all female Joe? Thanks for the show, man.
What would who prefer?
Diddy.
An all male what?
Jail.
Oh. I don't. Maybe he want a mixture of both. I don't know.
I can't believe that there's a part of you that thought that might have been just a second person named Eric.
It could have. Eric's a very common name. What do you want from me? Sorry.
I could have told you.
I know. You didn't even answer the phone. It was our intern. Sorry. Eric's a very common name. So he asked about the quarterbacks. I think as far as Darnold and Baker Mayfield, they're older, not old to the level of like a Matthew Stafford. But sometimes we get suckered into believing that you have to be good immediately. And if you're not, you stink and you've got no redeeming value. Luckily for those two guys, and it's partly because of their talent, like Baker Mayfield wasn't ever considered a generational player. But the man did win the Heisman for a reason. He was a talented quarterback on the college level. And he got drafted number one overall. And sorry if you don't thrive for the Browns or the Jets. Of course, the whole point is you're the quarterback supposed to change things there. But they're the Browns and the Jets for a reason. There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
So I would say, and this is through different organizational structures, whether it be GMs or coaches, those teams have, for the most part, been bad for almost all of our entire lives. So he got to Tampa, which has had some success, certainly. and Baker Mayfield's grown as a person and as a quarterback. I don't know if he has a chip on his shoulder. Baker probably came in, and maybe one of his issues was the chip on the shoulder. I think he's probably, you would ask anyone around him, he's not that same guy, and he has found a way to make it work. Doesn't hurt that he has Mike Evans and Chris Godwin to throw the ball to. That helps his cause. And Sam Darnold's the same way. He's got a good play caller in Minnesota. He's got an elite wide receiver. That's an offense that has some easy buttons for the quarterback, and he still can throw the football, and he can move around a little bit. That's not a bad start when you're trying to rebuild a quarterback from the ground up. So there's some talent there. There's a good system in place, and you're seeing it work in both places.
And the Diddy question?
I said it. I started it with maybe a mixture of both.
Oh, okay.
I got to it.
Okay.
Don't think I avoid nonsense.
I just, the Eric Wong, we missed one of those questions. I want to make
only
sure
because,
we got Eric II's question.
Thank you. And the only time I will purposely miss a question or just ignore it is when he's asking me about a reporter here in town. Either Eric, I'm just not going to talk about it. All right, let's move on to Sean. Sean wants to talk about Dikembe Mutombo, who passed away.
Hey, good morning, fellas. The great Dikembe Mutombo. He has passed away. So I want to talk to him. Dikembe Mutombo, I remember that great. There's a shot of him whenever he won the playoffs with the Nuggets. I think it would be the Sonics.
Yes.
They were like an 8 seed or something like that.
First time it ever happened.
He's there clutching the ball.
I remember.
And
I was a kid.
No.
That's his voice, yes. Sean, I was a kid watching that. A lot of us were. Was the Sean?
Yeah, y'all were. Yeah.
Was Sean, were you even alive? The other Sean, were you even alive when that happened?
I wasn't old enough to
remember it at all. 94.
Oh,
I was in my dad's house in L.A. watching the game. Hated the Sonics at the time for no other reason than I just didn't like Kemp or Peyton very much, and I was rooting on Mutombo. And yeah, I remember Game 5 in Seattle. And he's clutching that ball. It's one of the more iconic NBA moments. And, of course, it just happened to be the first round. But, yeah, that's probably what he's going to be remembered for, plus the finger wag on the court. And, of course, off the court, he's one of the best humanitarians
world. One of the best ever. He's doing stuff for everybody. I got one story.
Okay.
That me and my daughter went to a Rockets game, and this is early. I don't know. It's just, whenever he was here with the Rockets, and early in the game, though, and this guy is what, 7 whatever. And I'm not a tall person. We're not tall people. But to see this guy just walk over and like, he kind of tried to grab my daughter's hand, like give her a handshake. And he was just like, man, just take it over like banana hands. Man. But just going to say, Dikembe Mutombo, RIP, and that's it.
Appreciate it, Sean. Yeah, if you missed it, the news broke maybe within the last hour that Dikembe Mutombo died of brain cancer. As I said before, I'm not sure anyone knew, at least anybody in the general public knew that. Lazy J, you want to talk NBA? Sorry to make you wait. We are way past. So I'll get to you as soon as we come back. Lazy J wants to talk NBA. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. We will be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
It is almost about this time. We have NBA Media Days going. They started last week. There's a tweet of the Sixers, their big three, Paul George and Joel Embiid and all, obviously Tyrese Maxey. There's a picture of them from their media day, I think, today. So it's that time, and Lazy J wants to talk some NBA. What's up, Lazy J?
Hey, Dale, what's going on? Yeah, I wanted to mention, man, I heard you mention Joe Budden today and Friday. So now I'm kind of, wondering, since you love Joe Budden so much, now I know the real reason why Rahill left. You know, maybe he was stealing from him like he was with his prior guest. So just wanted to get your thoughts on that. And then also with the NBA, man, what do you think? I think the Rockets could have traded Shengun or maybe Jalen Green. I know Minnesota probably wouldn't have wanted, you know, Green because they got already Edwards at the two, so they have two guards. And really, neither one of them can probably play the one as a point guard. But just your thoughts on, man, they barely got anything back for Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, Julius Randle can't stay healthy to save his life. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns, they say he's a four, but he could be a five. So I just want to get your thoughts on that. Maybe we could have traded maybe our future first-rounders, or maybe, you know, we're guard-heavy, so maybe we could have gave him a couple guards, man. What's your thoughts on that? Love the show.
Well, my first thought is, what is this we were talking about? I thought you were a LeBron fan. So you root for LeBron, but you also root for the Rockets. What's all this we stuff you're talking about? Those are my first thoughts. The other thing is, there's not enough money between Rahill and I for me to steal from him. He's referencing Joe Budden's, one of his good friends, at least at one point. They had their podcast together, and then there was an accusation of theft, so that podcast broke up. That's a deep cut for people who don't know who Joe Budden is. That's what he's talking about, giving you some context to that. He asked about the Rockets trading. Oh, maybe let's inform you, if you did not know, that happened on Friday while you had chaos in two college football games. At the same time, you had the Knicks acquiring Karl Anthony Towns, and the Knicks sent Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, and a Detroit first-round pick, although that deal has not been finalized yet. So that's just because Woj ain't around. Bobby Marks is reporting it. Woj would have waited.
It's a three-team trade now with the Hornets.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on right now.
Need some foreign guys.
Salaries need to be pushed to the Hornets. So it's not official yet, but the reported deal, and you expect this to go through, and nobody can be at their team's media days until the deal is finalized. So Karl Anthony Towns, he responded with one of the dot, like the dot, dot, dot. That's all he tweeted. Like, okay, what's this? Apparently it was a shock to him. They didn't tell him that this could be going down.
Hey, by the way, we're trading him.
Yeah. You could possibly be traded.
Well, if not, see you at media day.
Yeah, either.
think about that. Yeah, that's why they didn't tell him. Is because
they weren't sure.
Hey, we're going to try to trade you this weekend. If not, first thing on Monday. All right.
Yeah.
It's have a good weekend.
It would be very awkward. So that trade eventually will be finalized. So Karl Anthony Towns will go to the Knicks. The Knicks had some issues with height. Mitchell Robinson's going to miss the first part of the year, and Hardenstein is no longer a Knick.
It's a Thunder.
Yeah, so they needed some size. I don't know if depending on Sims would have worked out for them. So they go and get Karl Anthony Towns. You heard Leslie J talk about it. Julius Randle is perpetually hurt. So he gets away from Tibbs. And a lot of people reporting from the Minnesota side said this deal was inevitable, not because they were sick of Karl Anthony Towns, but because financially his deal was going to be very prohibitive to building a team around Anthony Edwards, just because of the way the NBA has set up their salary cap and the restrictions put on teams to spend. Getting to the second apron with Karl Anthony Towns was going to adversely affect them, so they had to make the trade. Now you lose one of your cornerstones to make way for your new cornerstone. Unfortunately, they will not be playing together anymore.
Yeah, I saw a lot of it is the money aspect. Basically, in a couple years, they're going to have to pay Karl Anthony Towns $60 million per year to be Karl Anthony Towns. And they would rather pay Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo like a combined $40 million. So that makes sense. They also had the report out there through, you know, Minnesota beat writer where it was the Timberwolves would have had to choose between Karl Anthony Towns or if they were to keep Karl Anthony Towns, they would have to let go of Naz Reid and Nikhil Alexander Walker, which is like, if I'm Karl Towns, like, yeah, you don't have to float that you chose Naz Reid and Nikhil Alexander Walker over me.
Naz Reid is really beloved in Minnesota, and they won't want to continue to.
Naz Reid, stretch big, that can't play defense. Karl Anthony Towns, stretch big, that can't play defense.
Like, come on. I mean, That didn't have to get put out there. What are we doing?
Like,
well, you chose Nas Reed.
You could have just said you love Julius Randle.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, at least. But telling everyone that Nas Reed and his growth was one of the reasons you decided to trade me away. How many years did I have to suffer through? Jimmy Butler bullied me on the practice court. Remember that? I dealt with that in my own way, and we moved, and we got better. And look at us now, a contender. Well, I guess the benefit for him is he goes to another contender.
Yeah.
And I mentioned his one response on Twitter was the dot, dot, dot. And one of the comments underneath was like, man, Karl Anthony Towns better not bring his goofy ass stuff over here to New York. Good luck, buddy. Good luck in New York. They'll treat you well.
It's also for the Knicks, like you mentioned, with Mitchell Robinson hurt, probably going to get traded now, I imagine. But he kind of has to play center now. And the Minnesota Timberwolves decided we cannot be successful with Karl-Anthony Towns center, yeah. playing center.
That's true. Speaking of that Minnesota front court, not a lot of shot making. Gobert and Julius Randle. I mean, Julius Randle will shoot a lot of shots.
Yeah, hey.
But the shot making,
yeah.
The long twos that he's going to be.
Shooting's no problem.
I'm not saying he's adverse to shooting.
Shot make
making That's them the in an efficient manner, and particularly the way he wants to score and where he wants to score from, could be a problem. But we'll see. As far as the Rockets are concerned, because that's what was part of Lazy J's call, could they have traded Şengün? Is what one of the mentions? They're not trading Şengün. I mean, for whatever you think of him, they feel like he's a cornerstone, and unlike Minnesota, they don't have a lot of money devoted to young players. So he is likely the first young player who's going to get his, and we'll see what it means for Jalen Green. I understand. We talked about this a lot during the offseason when there are rumors of the Rockets making a trade about fast-forwarding their process, and Karl-Anthony Towns would have done it, but they wouldn't do it at the expense of Şengün. I don't think that would have been on the table. He's younger, and even when you do give him a big deal, he'd still be cheaper than Karl-Anthony Towns. So. What it would have been for the Rockets to make the move, it would have been a splash. I just think they would have had to try to find a way to do it without Şengün involved. But I wouldn't think Minnesota would have made the move without Şengün involved. So I don't even know if it was a real go to begin with. But the Knicks get Karl-Anthony Towns, and the Nova Knicks lose one of their members, who, according to reports, DiVincenzo wasn't all that thrilled about the prospect of losing minutes to Mikal Bridges. He's like, wait a minute. I stepped in. We made a run with me. Run. Finishing in a second round again like they did the year before. But a run. Why are you taking my minutes away? Look, it was cool and all playing in college, but it's the NBA. Don't take my minutes away.
It's also, if I remember correctly, he came off the bench for the Nova, actual Villanova.
He was sick and tired of it. Enough. Yeah. I play starters minutes here. We were pretty good. Don't take my minutes. So that would have been an issue with the Knicks at full health.
I do love that everyone's like, the Villanova Knicks, how lovely.
And there's one
of them are like,
whatever. I mean if I could cool. do without that one just so I can get my minutes. So there it is. Training camps are about to start. Media days are in, and we're in the middle of those. So we have another big trade. We had a big trade before Media Day last year. It was the Dame to Bucks trade. It resulted in the Bucks firing their coach in the middle of the year and flaming out in the first round because Dame and Giannis were injured. We'll see how the Knicks do with their pre-Media Day trade. All right, hour one is done. We'll get back into more Texans. We have some sound from D'Amico. The game wasn't pretty, but sometimes, well, and really all the time, all that matters is winning. So we will hear from D'Amico Ryans on that. We'll go around the NFL, too. There are some things to get to. And we'll also stick with the Jags for this reason. Doug Peterson had some comments about questions regarding his play calling or maybe taking back the play calling from his current offensive coordinator, Press Taylor. He put some of the blame on the players. And he didn't name anyone by name, but if you know this show, you know who I would be blaming for what happened yesterday. We'll talk about that as well. We'll be